this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? The last preseason game of the summer. Season kicks off next week. Feeling good. Feeling fine. We have Stan Chow on the pod as well. We're going to get his thoughts on the upcoming season transfer window to date. Sir, what's going on? How you feeling? How we doing?
Sir, I'm doing great. Little remote pod action. I'm on vacation with the family in Southern California, visiting the family, sir. You're traveling with a little one and a dog. Is it vacation? I don't know. My son threw up about four times an hour into the ride. What a wild ride here. But what a vacation. I'm ready to break this match down.
Sir, a wise man once said that when you go on vacation with your young child, it's not vacation, it's just a change of scenery. Hopefully you're getting some nice relaxation after that stressful drive yesterday, sir. I know you got to watch this game. That probably put a smile on your face.
Yeah, no, it was great. What a game to wake up to. We've been calling for the first team to be back. They're back. Bruno Fernandes is back. Fans are back. The season's about to kick off, sir. Feeling really excited about the season. Really excited about the prospects for Manchester United. Hopefully we can pull it all together. We've seen this movie before. Rush preseason. Can we land the plane? Big game against Leeds scum. I can't emphasize that more. Bielsa at home, Old Trafford, sir. A little nervous, but seeing the quality yesterday, are we that good or is Everton that bad?
I think we're that good. And I think, you know, also Everton didn't have the best preseason. But you know what? We're preseason form as well. I think what it says is I'm a lot less nervous than I was a week ago when it was like a whole different crew of players having Bruno back in the fold. Ari, Luke, and they just look more confident, like they're ready to go. Tell you what, I went from nervous to excitement in about 2 hours of football. That's all it took. It took 45 minutes of football. That first half did it for me.
Sir, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. The hopes, winning 21-21. I mean, if Bruno Fernandes is going to hit free kicks like that, I see no problem.
If Harry's going to score headers like that, sir, it's like, we got a team. All of a sudden, is that the set piece coach making his mark on the team? Or, you know, Luke Shaw with a great ball in and Harry with a great finish. Maybe it's just confidence and the boys growing into the role. Either way, exciting times are ahead. 21-22. What could be? I think United's got to finish on the front foot as it relates to transfer, sir. They've got a decent window, but they could have a great window if they get a couple more additions. It doesn't look like it's happening. Glazer and Co., slow down the buy, sir. Where are you at? I need more better.
Sir, £83 million in cash on the balance sheet as of March 31st, 2021. They lost money in that quarter. The summer is not going to be stacking cash for the Glazers. So everything that we've heard on these transfers, they're all put on the credit card. Varane, Sancho, installments, future payments. We're not spending a lot of money. We needed to sell to fund transfers. We all know how bad Eddie Fourfingers Woodward, as you famously coined him, is at selling players. Sold Lukaku for a loss. LOL. You imagine that? I mean, yeah, we're going to get some money back from him, but he sold him for basically a small portion of the upfront and at a loss on the total fee to Inter Milan. I mean, how do you sell Lukaku for a loss? That tells you how good we are at selling players. You can't sell Jesse Lingard, who was lights out. He did everything we need him to do to make him a marketable player to sell him. We can't sell him. And if we can't sell players, we're not going to sign players because we're broke. Not as broke as Barcelona, but we're pretty broke.
Pretty broke. We can sign players at least. Yeah, you want an indictment on this club and how it's run. Look at the Romelu Lukaku transfer saga over the last 2 years. Sell him for a loss, and then he goes for 30 more than what you even bought him for, sir. That is an indictment. Also, strengthening a rival, a big rival. He's going to score goals, at least 20, I would say, because he's done before in the Premier League for that Chelsea side. Sure. I mean, you sell them and then you don't replace them. You replace them with Odin Ighalu 18 months later or whatever it was. It's not good enough. That's not how a top club performs. Should have been Holland and it wasn't, but here we are. Maybe next year.
That's a very good point. Lukaku goes to Chelsea. Chelsea are not going to be looking for number nine. Holland might be ours. Shitty. Can't get Kane over the line, sir. A lot of dominoes, a lot of ripples effects in this transfer window, but 100 million for Jack Grealish is starting to look pretty expensive, and we're not in the 100 million splashing out camp anymore at Manchester United, and that's why you're saying, okay, 35 for Neves, that's a reach for us right now if we can't sell somebody. 35 for Trippier, that's a reach if we can't sell somebody. So you kind of saw it, you know, great start to the window, and now everything's tapering off. I mean, I look at Sancho and Varane, that's last year's business. Show me this year's business. Unfortunately, the way this club is run, the cash on the balance sheet, sir, the dividends getting paid out, it's just tough times at Manchester United. We are going to get some money from Lukaku, but that won't even pay for the Glazers' dividend. So you have to focus on the ownership. We're at the cusp here, and this is what's frustrating as fans. Any owner who had a real intention to win would be eyeing some key additions, some good bargain bin buys. Neves is bargain bin. You know, you look at Trippier, he's bargain bin. These are smart signings that aren't too expensive, and our club should be easily buying them this window and for us to be sitting on it. It's a tough look. Sell to buy? Are you kidding me? This is Manchester fucking United. We got $600 million in revenue, sir. I'm dropping F-bombs already. I'm so pissed.
I don't blame you. It's true. You should not be in a position where you need to sell and to buy in order to push for a title challenge, because right now, it could. We could challenge if everything goes our way, everyone stays fit, the new players hit the ground running, but you're not necessarily giving the manager the pieces they really need in order to compete. I'm thinking Matic. Wow, he looked good yesterday. What an important role he plays in this new 4-3-3. Allows you to play another attacking midfielder in Van de Beek or Pogba. But you got to know that, like, he's not going to be able to play 40 games this year. You need a younger option that maybe he can learn under, that can share some of the burden. Same with Wan-Bissaka, right? You know, he had started basically every game last year. You need someone to cover him. And maybe for the Glazers, top four is enough. Champions League contention is enough. And that's all they really care about, because that's what's paying the bills. But either way, it's closer. There's something building this side. A lot of positivity, a lot of really exciting youngsters. And yesterday was just nice, because some of the boys that, you know, we hadn't been able to feature yet, you're like, oh, damn, this team's got quality in it. It's got quality in the front, quality in the back.
Totally. And what I'm talking about, you got to be a harsh critic of the ownership and how they've managed this club to date, on sort of taking $1 billion out, right? You have to look at that and say, okay, other clubs are putting $1 billion in, more than $1 billion in. You look at the noisy neighbors, they're putting $1 billion in, not taking it out, right? You're looking at the differences. You're looking at the silverware. You got to be harsh on the owners. But as far as this squad, sir, I'm very pumped about this squad. Deleau even coming back looking good in preseason. You know, who needs Trippier when you can put Deleau in? I don't know if it's hearts in Milan or not. The question is, like, You need some of these buys because you need the depth. It's a long season. You got Champions League, sir. You got the Energy Drink Cup. You know City loves to win that every year. You got the FA Cup. You got a lot going on. And adding to this team is critical. And also on the selling, not a lot of clubs are having trouble selling players on big wages. Look at Barcelona. We're having trouble as well. I mean, Phil Jones is just going to clip coupons for life. So, you know, it has been difficult out there, and I am fine with what we got, but you have to look at our owners and be like, where's the intention? You're just trying to throw some meat to the fans, keep them happy. Ole wants more. Ole needs more. He wants an attacking right back. He needs a central defensive midfielder, and if the owners are not going to give him that, where's the intent to win 21? That's all I'm looking from the ownership, sir.
No, it's like not replacing Lukaku. It's like, okay, we can't buy until we sell. It's like, well, the only reason we can't sell is because you put these players on huge contracts, and that's going to make them very difficult to shelf. And just get it out. Just figure out a way by hook or by crook. Get a Jesse Lingard, you know, off so you can make room for other players that want to break on through. So right now he's got kind of a bloated squad, and these sells to buys need to be happening more quickly, right? It's the 8th of August. We got 3 weeks left in the transfer window. It's like, so you know how this club moves at a glacier pace. Glacier pace. That's why it took us 2 years to get Sancho done. At CDM is what we've been talking about the most, with Pogba looking more and more likely he's going to just run down his contract and go wherever he wants next year. But, sir, we got games to talk about. We got Leeds next weekend. A lot to get excited for. Promising things happening. I'm pretty pumped.
But you think of the Pogba. You buy Pogba for, you know, big fee, can't sell him. You buy Lukaku, big fee, can't sell him. Buy Sanchez, big fee, can't sell him. I mean, like, you go down the list, and this is just, like, just losing money, sir. Just we need that cheddar. And, like, Lingard is the perfect example. If you can't sell him, who can you sell? He played lights out. He scored more goals than Grealish in the EPL last year. You can't sell him? Kids of 35? You can't sell him to get Neves? Come on.
Dude, they did a fire sale of Lukaku just for no reason. Like, because I think Solskjaer believed that he was getting a replacement relatively quick. Didn't happen, but the guy was a proven goal scorer in the Premier League. There's no justification to sell him for a loss like they did. Pogba will be the same thing. You bought him record fee, £90 million, and he will leave for free going, laughing on the way out, sir. Getting it's a huge... It's crazy, and it's not sustainable, and that's part of the reason that, like, oh, we got to sell to buy this year because they made so many poor transfer decisions that put United in a bad position, on the back foot. The transfers we've gotten done are going to be big transfers, but a club that is on top of their shit, gets things done quickly, doesn't waste time, because time is the most valuable asset a club has, sir. You know that. It's like any business, so... Look at, I hate to say it, I hate Chelsea. Hate Chelsea probably more than anyone else. But they got Lukaku transferred on lickety split. They just like, they know a player, they know, okay, there's only so much you can haggle on a price because at the end of the day, the person that's holding the player has all the leverage and they just get shit done. And we need a little bit more of the mentality. We like to drag transfers out. Even right now, you know, there's not enough quite smoke as it relates to some of these CDM targets that make you think that they're going to try and get a deal done before the window. Because I'm not hearing much of anything.
Hey, last day, Eddie Woodward's going to be looking at Shanghai Shenhua, you know, looking at stadium options out in China, getting them cheap. We've all seen this movie before, sir. Quick PSA for the podcast. We could go all day about this ownership, sir. Hashtag Glazers out. If you like to support independent fan content, we have no sponsors on this podcast. We do it for the love of the game. If you're not familiar, Patreon is a great way for you to support podcasts like ours. You can visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, anything. You can sign up from $1 a month to $20 a month. There's a few tiers there. It's a great way for us to keep the lights on, keep doing what we do. We love this great club, sir. We love this podcast. Getting up at 4:45 for preseason. Let's go. You like the American Red Devils, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have great merchandise there as well as fan-generated content. We believe this platform is for fans. By fans, sir. You want some great fan banter, check out the blog. We also have the Glazers Out merch on sale. And we're getting in our new 21-22 scarves. Sir Matt Busby, sir. Football is nothing without fans. I just got the first photo of one off the production line. Looks amazing. We'll be dropping those as well probably in 2 weeks. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
Wow, iTunes reviews are a terrific way to support the pod, sir, and we're stepping up the rewards. If you write a 5-star review on iTunes, if it has a cheeky banner, even better, send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address. We've still got 3 more Glazer Out Cloud Nose shirts that we are sending if you send a review. So get it in with your shirt size, with your address, and we will send you a Glazer Out Clown shirt designed by John himself. Pretty solid. Great way to support the pod. Great way for us to be found organically. And we're almost at 400 reviews, sir. We are on our way, chipping up. American Red Devils, we couldn't do it without the fans. Best in the world, sir. How are we feeling?
Feeling great, sir. Before we get into the preseason recap, 21/22, no more transfers in. Is Manchester United title contenders in the English Premier League? Are Manchester United title contenders?
I mean, I have to say yes, just because I think this team is building something, but you're relying on like a Matic to be your starting CDM because he probably is the best fit, honestly, to play that position. But that's a big ask for him. So I think you basically have to have everything kind of go your way injury-wise, because if you start losing players like him in the midfield, then you know you're back to McFred. And I think that kind of stifles the team. So, yeah, but it's going to take a lot of like luck on our side in terms of injuries and players hitting form. I think it's kind of silly not to make those last two big signings like we talked about. Like the extra $70 million right now, even that you could be doing structured in installments should be made, because that's going to be the difference between challenging this year and not. And you have to remember, these clubs that we're fighting against are just like, they have stupid amounts of money. So you need to at least do like a partial chip up and just try and keep up with them. Otherwise, they're going to continue to like get so much farther ahead of us, sir. What do you think?
I'm going to say more than people expect, mainly because of the back line. I really think that the Euros did a lot for Maguire and Shaw. First of all, I think last year's season did a lot for Shaw. I think then the Euros, like, really the capstone for him. Maguire as well. And then to add Varane, I think is just going to be game-changing. I think we're all worried about CDM, CDM. We've been beating the CDM drum. Go to the CDM store, sir. Get anyone you can. Play CDM. That's really sort of a... You could do Matic, Fred, McTominay all there. And that job's should be easier because of the back line being shored up. And then it's really our attacking, you know, as long as you don't ditch Martial, which I've heard, I could see it working out, sir. I could really see us being a lot better than people expect. The thing is, in the modern times, you look at a Chelsea, and you look at their bench, right? And so I think our bench is thin, and Ole hasn't had confidence in the bench. I think that's where we've been weak, and so adding depth will always help you for those big runs. I think we'll do very well this season. I think the additions in Sancho and Varane will be a huge impact, and I think we can contend. The question is, are you contending in October, or are you contending in April, May? And I couldn't tell you that. I just have to think that we're due for a non-runaway league. And if it's a non-runaway league and everyone is chipping up, like you said, our rivals, people are going to be dropping points. It's going to be closer. I just want an exciting league. I want us in the mixer. I see it with this squad. You know, a few additions. I'm being a little spoiled. A few additions that we deserve, for the record. We do deserve those additions, but I think we could do a lot with what we have.
No, I tend to agree, because the signings that were made are quality signings. They add a lot of class to the team up front. Excitement-wise, in terms of what we need to break down those low defensive blocks in the Sancho, and just kind of the confidence, calmness, and a little bit of pace to kind of bail out Eri in the back line. That is going to be big. Very excited. Very bullish for this season, sir. You know what? It all started with that Everton recap. As soon as I saw this lineup at 4:40 in the morning, I was like, all right, that's a team.
Sir, you want to get in the lineup?
Let's get into it. Dave Saves, world number one in net, back line at AWB, Lindelof, Eric Maguire, and Luke Shaw. We got a midfield of Van de Beek, Matic, Bruno Fernandes in the hole, Dan James on the left, Greenwood on the right, and Tony Martial came from France. English press said no chance up front, sir. What'd you make of that lineup when you saw it?
I love the lineup. The only player who should arguably be on the bench, or I don't want to see starting against Leeds, would be Dan James. I still think, you know, rapid on the wing. He does everything until he gets into the final third, and he has to make that last final decision. That's it for him. For some reason, passing the other team, you know, crossing without picking his head up, it just, you can't be giving away the ball cheaply there. He continues to do it. He gets into dangerous areas. That's the one thing about Dan James. I think bench player, you know, for me.
No, you would have maybe liked to see it Alanga, but I think he picked up an injury because of the form. You know, he's been in great form this preseason. You like to see maybe Martial on the left. He sometimes looked dangerous if you did have a Cavani, but either way, it's preseason. He might feature against Leeds, sir. We could use his pace against...
Well, Lingard has COVID, right?
Lingard got COVID, that's correct.
Yeah, exactly. So Lingard would be out there, but I think because of Lingard getting dropped, then you're going to see James. I like Dan James. I'm cheering him on. I think he's more like the 78th minute, bring on some pace guy. That's all I'm trying to say. You know, he's probably not the start. You know, you look at Martial, Fernandes, Greenwood, James...
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple good balls, but I know what you said. His decision-making is not always perfect. Alanga would have been a shout for me, but like I said, he did pick up an injury, so he I think was training alone. United had a pretty decent half of football, my man. What do you think about that?
Hey, you know what? Back in the day with Fergie, you could put on Darren Gibson, because you have people like Greenwood, Bruno, Luke Shaw crossing into Harry Maguire. So, you know, it doesn't matter if Dan James is out on the left, sir. Let's get into these highlights.
Let's get into these highlights. United came out rapidly. Didn't take long. In the 8th minute, Mason, Starboy, Greenwood.
Luka Dean. Oh, it's gone past the goalkeeper. And Greenwood makes no mistakes. Luka Dean and Jordan Pickford getting into an awful tangle.
So these are the type of goals that get you 20 Premier League goals a season. They don't always have to be pretty. Putting Jordan Pickford in a pickle, and he basically spilled the beans. Nice, tight little finish from Mason Greenwood for the goal. What's not to like? I love these scrappy goals. Honestly, they make me smile, because you know what? You still got to score it. You know, like Timo Werner would hit the post, sir. So Mason Greenwood gets a goal. Can't be bad for his confidence.
Sir, when they go on like this, you know you're going to have an easy day at the office. You love to see Greenwood get on the score sheet. I have very, very high hopes for Mason.
Could be a very big year for him, sir. We'll have Stan's thoughts in a second, but he said, hey, you know what? If Greenwood puts together the number nine role like we all know he could, you might not need a Haaland. Anyway, speaking of confidence, a player that's full of it at the moment, Harry Maguire, captain oh captain, in the 15th minute.
That's the corner. Powerful header. Harry Maguire. No saving that. A thunderous header from the skipper. And Manchester United have two within 15 minutes.
Sir, that goal, it's like, we don't score goals like that. We don't put balls in like that. We don't score headers that look like that. That is one of the prettiest headers I've seen in a long time. Definitely the prettiest I've seen from Harry Maguire. I like that because you know what? We've been crying out for it for years. Is like, when we signed you, you were a goal threat. You scored a shit ton of goals for Leicester and for England. We just hadn't seen it from United. We saw everything else. But to see maybe that threat coming back, especially with some good service from Luke Shaw, what's not to like? That is a dangerous thing. You can tell both of them are playing with confidence.
Sir, Harry has been due for a long time. Preseason doesn't count. He's still due. I mean, we need to see some more goals out of our captain in the English Premier League. He's got the size. His head is huge, sir. He just needs to dunk it. This was incredible. Remember last season? What was Harry thinking about going into the first match, sir? What was he thinking about?
Fighting around the world in Greece.
Exactly. Now what is he thinking about?
He's thinking about he went to the final.
I'm the captain. I'm the man. I'm the captain of Manchester United. Let's go. And so I think you see him hit that penalty in the final, sir. I've never seen a penalty hit any better by any player in the most high-pressure situation ever. So, Harry, you know, Mykonos is in the past, baby. You're the captain of Manchester United. Let's score some goals. I think he's ready. I think he's the right mindset. That's what we need from Harry. We've kind of seen him struggle with the jersey, the pressure, everything, Greece or whatever. And I think he's locked in right now. I hope he can stay that way the whole season. But, you know, he's locked in. Stay healthy, Harry.
He's growing into that armband, sir. He's like, I think last year he stepped up in a major way. The tournament he had for England, he played extremely well. Honestly, he didn't put a foot wrong the whole tournament. And now just having another seasoned vet winner who's going to come in, have an elite mentality next to him, I think it's going to bring the best out of him, sir. It's another reason to be bullish about Manchester United. So there's always a reason to be bullish about Manchester United, and his name is Bruno, sir. In the 29th minute, Bruno Fernandes. Our Portuguese Magnifico. What a goal, sir. What a goal.
Bruno's name rings out around Old Trafford. Fernandes! Bruno's back. Oh, Bruno Fernandes with a fantastic free kick. And Manchester United have three within half an hour here.
Wow.
Sir, I know you said it doesn't count in preseason, but you know what? Confidence is everything headed into the new season. That's not a bad way to start it for either Harry or Bruno. What a goal from a free kick, sir. Ronaldo-esque. Love to see it. Woo! Let's go, baby. Bruno's back. Where'd he go? Wait, hold on. Let's go.
Bruno, Bruno, Bruno. Here's the post of Cristiano. He goes out, he goes out. Makes your faces all shine. He's a Portuguese Magnifico.
Sir, you can count on your hand how many players can hit it like that. You know, Messi, Ronaldo, Bruno. I mean, I think that's probably the list, sir. I mean, unbelievable from Bruno Fernandes. And again, talk about coming in fine form. He's looking sharp, looking great, looking like he could lead Manchester United to something special, sir. You know, I'm talking Champions League. I'm talking 21. I think, you know, consummate professionals coming back. Fit, healthy, ready to go. You look at Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Bruno. I mean, just slot them in, doing damage. Like, let's go. I mean, this gave me much more confidence, like you said. I was worried about it. Rashford surgery is a little worrying as well, but seeing these guys come in right and not miss a step is great for Leeds United. We just need to boss Leeds, sir. It comes down to the results by hook or by crook. This momentum has to be worth something. Saturday, 4:30 a.m. Pacific. It's got to be worth something. You come out and you play flat against Leeds. You lose the first game at home against Leeds. We had bad home form last season, sir. It all starts again. We've seen this movie before. You got to win the first game. So critical here.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but I think this does a lot of good heading into next week. Also, having the fans back, right? They're going to be back in full voice next week as well. Makes a load of difference. But having the worldies, right? Having like the top class players, and Harry and Bruno, obviously they're like in the top three in terms of the importance to Manchester United, sir. So having them come back and be in some of the best form in a long time, you know, Bruno wasn't playing that well for Portugal, but when he puts on the red of Manchester United, sir, it's like it shines the brightest. And Harry is just full of confidence as well. When you get a Jadon Sancho in the mix, a Rafael Varane in the mix, you get Pogba up to form, sir. No matter what he's doing, he's probably going to at least give us another season. This team has something in it. That's why it's like, you know, push for those last couple pieces that would really put together a full team. So that was the half. What'd you make?
I heard Varane's walking from Spain. He's due in about 3 weeks, or he's hiking. You know, he got everything on. He's got everything in his backpack. He's ready to go. He's hiking. he's going to sail.
He's going on a mission.
Who knows why it takes so goddamn long to get Varane into England. I'm sure there's visas and everything in between and quarantine and all this stuff. But Jesus, it's taken a long time, sir. Way too long.
There was visas.
He's in England, going to be announced real quick. Like Varane's like 2 months later. It's like, come on, let's go. We need him.
Welcome to United, sir. Like, the visa issue, I'm sure a competent club would have sorted that out. Yeah, like you said, there was a visa issue. Apparently, he's going to be ready to join the squad up on Wednesday, or maybe sign on Wednesday. It's a 5-day quarantine, train Thursday, Friday. Could be on the bench. Love to see him start. He looks pretty fit, sir. He put out a video on social media of him playing kick up in his backyard. Looks like he's fit as a fiddle, ready to go.
Sir, it looked like you out there, sir. given the first half, what were your thoughts here? You know?
The anxiety from last week went away. You know, it's like, damn, we're going to go play Leeds. We're in trouble. And now it's like, oh, shit, we're brushing aside Everton. Looking super confident. I like the way and the football was nice in the first half. These were some great individual goals. But you say the football was exciting looking. You know, I liked Matic passing in between the lines and the way the midfield was kind of linking up, even with Everton just packing it in. So, sir, it's a good sign, good omen. We just need to get fitness up and going headed into the season.
Yeah, it was good tempo, sharp for sure. I think we lost it. We lost that sharpness in the second half. You could kind of tell. Obviously, you know, the players come from the Euros. They had it. But, you know, Paul Pogba hanging out in Miami for whatever reason, you know, he came back. He didn't look as sharp. Great reception for Paul Pogba. But, you know, his passing was a little all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, the second half wasn't as sharp. We'll hop right into it. It was really the tail of the subs until the very end. Subs coming in the second half. Pogba, Fred, and Mata came on for Martial, Matic, and Van de Beek. I got to think those last two are starting next weekend. Matic and Van de Beek, we will see. Nothing much happened, you know, like just some fitness, passing around. 60th minute, more subs. Brandon Williams came on, as did Delo. Twan Zabi, his last piece of action before he head out on loan to Villa. Pereira, and they came out for Shaw, Lindelof, Fernandez, and Wan-Bissaka, all of which will be starting next weekend, I would imagine, as well, sir. So it was good for them to get the 60 minutes. And then a little bit later, more subs. McTominay and Gardner came on for James and Maguire. Sorry, that's your 11 coming together for the Leeds. And at the very end of the game, a little bit of last-minute action from another Portuguese player that, hey, you know, if we don't get Trippier in, you might have a role to play in Manchester United this season. It was Delo in the 92nd minute.
He thought about it. Clipped in. Headed on. Diogo Delo. Not convinced about Begovic here, but it looped over him. And Manchester United finishing preseason with a flourish.
Speaking of players that might have picked up some confidence playing with their international teams, Fred putting a ball in over the top. I don't know when I've ever seen that. And like, nice little ball. Delo with a little kind of blind, you know, headed, shouldered ball towards the net, loops over the keeper, reminiscent of Ahmad against AC Milan. Love to see it from the Portuguese player. You can tell how much it meant to him. Sir, Diogo Delo, does he have a role to play this upcoming season?
I Ole doesn't want him for whatever reason, right? There's a reason he's on loan. It's not like you look at Ahmad on loan are Facundo on loan. Those are different loans. The low's like a no thanks loan. I don't know. Is this enough to get back in his good graces? He did give up the goal in the other preseason match, switched off. I think he's caught between the winger. Right back syndrome, doesn't know. His defending has come into question. So as far as DeLow, probably not the guy. But again, taking into account our ownership, if our ownership aren't going to sign the guy, then yeah, he could be the guy. And right, this is where you got to give big ups to Ole, where he's making it work with what he's got. And that's, you have to give him credit because he's always done that, sir. You know, he didn't get Sancho when he wanted him. He made Greenwood work on the right. Something here, hey, I can't get Trippier, who'd clearly be a great signing for this club, make us better, make Wan-Bissaka better, so then I'll rely on DeLow. I don't mind DeLow. I put him in for AWB when we need a goal, you know, or something like that, but he's not going to be the starter when you're doing sort of a back three and you're going to go attack and try to break down a team. I don't think he's that type of player, more of like a sub.
Totally. And also, I think another thing that Ole, for the right reason, right, because you know his mentality, you know what he's trying to build here. He's looking for someone with experience who can rub off on AWB, right, who's won quite a bit, actually, with this Atletico side. So he'd be a good player, good complement to AWB, like you mentioned, and the attacking threat he offers, you know, makes a total sense. But, you know, whether or not our front office can get the deal done in the next 3 weeks, I'd love to see it.
It's the Glazers' piggy bank, you know. They'd rather just put the money in their pocket than invest it in winning trophies. Who would have thought? What do we know, sir? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ole, excellent performance today. Did it go as you planned? Really intense first half and a more serene second half.
Yeah, obviously, when you make changes, the games in preseason always go this way, or most of the time go this way. It was about getting the minutes in, try to get intensity. The work they've put in so far in preseason has been good, and we got rewarded with a few nice goals today.
Simon? Hi, Ollie.
Hi, Sam.
Can you just get us up to speed with where Jadon Sancho and Rafael Varane are and whether they've got any chance of being involved against Leeds next week?
They'll, of course, the medical with Rafael has to be done. He's isolating at the moment. Had to wait for visas. So, unfortunately, that took a few more days than expected, but we've got to follow the protocols and the rules. So, it took a few more days than we hoped for. Jadon's in for Monday. And hopefully then he is in decent nick and can be involved.
All right, I think that's enough. So he's talking about the new signing, sir. Looks like Jadon will be ready to, you know, meet up with the players on Monday. It's going to take a little bit longer, like we talked about earlier, for our new boy, Rafael Varane, to join up probably like Wednesday. So we'll see. Both are, you know, not likely to start, but maybe Jadon can come on as a sub for your boy Dan James. Shine the last 20 minutes to kind of ice the Leeds game after we're up a couple goals.
He looks fit. Who knows? It's Ole's call. Big call for him, sir. Let's get to fan questions first. We have a few here from at JSeekN12 on Twitter. Quote, so we're getting Messi and CR7, right? Which player would sell more United kits? A man can dream, sir. Who would sell more United kits, Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi. Not even close. I think really? Ronaldo's got like the most followers on Instagram of anyone by like a large margin. He'll sell a lot, but I think something about Messi, you know, it's like, and he just, it's like the ever, you know, like the evergreen quality of the player. Whereas like Ronaldo is still a great player, but he's certainly missed a step or two because like he, as fast as he used to be, doesn't score as many free kicks as he used to be. But Messi just looks like, you know, nothing's changed. Dude. He could be 23 years old and he's still tearing shit up. So I think that's got to be the answer. And obviously some people already own Ronaldo 7 kits. So I'm looking at one in the pod room right now. Whereas Messi on that red of Manchester United, that would sell some kits, I'm sure.
So per Bleacher Report, Messi's is the number one shirt. Ronaldo is second. And in 2021, Barcelona sold the most amount of kits despite being completely bankrupt. Last time we sold the most amount of kits was 18-19. That's incredible because those are some ugly kits.
Was it Pogba?
No, just the team sold the most kits. Manchester United sold the most kits worldwide, 18-19, sir. Next fan question at Ty Kircher. Quote, yes, it's preseason, but gosh, if it doesn't feel good to score four and keep a clean sheet, important point, the clean sheet there. Bruno looks good in midseason form already. Slabhead needs a few goals this season. Greenwood looks ready to push on. Sirs, it could be really fun next season. Next, it's Leeds scum, sir. Leeds scum up next. I think we all echo the sentiment. Ty, very excited. And at Odell Red Devil, quote, Bruno, I thought he only scored penalties. Great way to end the preseason. Captain Harry using that dome of his was also great to see. Sancho trains on Monday. Leeds scum better be ready because here comes the Red Devils. So I think everyone's feeling the same way we are. Big match, first match, OT, let's go. I just want to see some grit, some heart from these players, some rough challenges, sir. I want to impose our will against Leeds United and show them that they are indeed the small club that they are.
Well, I think we'll remind them, sir, one way or the other, but it's going to be a big, big match to kick off the season. I think last year we limped into preseason, but now just with this kind of performance, I think this puts a lot of wind under our sails to go out there and smash them about. The confidence for some of our key players arguably has never been higher, and we'll just keep getting stronger week in, week out, sir, adding some of those players back into the mix, whether it's a Jadon, Martial getting up to speed, Rafael Varane, Paul Pogba.
On the team. I keep forgetting Sancho's on the team.
Sancho. Like, oh, yeah. Jadon Sancho's on our team. He's pretty good.
What did I say? Lingard playing on the left? Sancho's playing on the left.
Yeah, Sancho. Jadon Sancho.
That's because I forgot we have Jadon Sancho, sir. It's been a crazy summer. Wild ride, sir. We're just angry about the CDMs. Oh, yeah, we got Sancho. That's not bad.
Terrible. That's not bad. We and we haven't seen him in red yet. That's another reason why it's hard for us to connect the dots and be like, oh, he's a player, because we want to see him play.
I think... It's kind of like when you played Mata on the left or Mata on the right. He comes inside, right? Mata comes inside and wants to link up with Bruno. I'm going to look at Sancho coming inside. When he played on England, he would come inside. I think Sancho, Bruno, 1-2. The thing about Bruno is like Sancho's always looking on those runs and Bruno's going to be looking for him. I think the Bruno-Sancho connection could be big, sir. Could be huge for United.
No, for sure. Two creative players just kind of jiving off each other. Then wait until Rashford gets into the mix. Greenwood looks like he's ready to go, sir. It's exciting time ahead.
Cavani.
And Eddie, bro. We forgot about Eddie Cavani, world-class number 9, who's leading the line. Because fit and firing, with those two players behind him, like that is a dangerous side.
I love Cavani. The fact he resigned, everything about it, coming in, just like showing up. Like, what a player. He had the intensity, you know. Bruno came in the dressing room. He has the intensity. Cavani, same thing, you know. Like getting in that fight, backing up Greenwood. You know, Cavani.
You love to see it. Elite. They're elite and they're winners. And they, you know, hopefully Varane brings a little bit of that as well. I know he's kind of a nice guy, not like hugely outspoken, but he's got a winning mentality. But that edge, right? It's like, ooh, that edge comes from Bruno Fernandes and Eddie Cavani. Sorry, those are like the killers, absolute killers.
It should be coming from Harry too. You know, you get him out on a night in Greece. He's got that. he just needs to replicate it at Old Trafford. Sir, we got some transfer news. Let's get into it. United in the news. Bringing you the latest transfer puppetry from around the world. Sir, quick one here. You mentioned it. Aston Villa, Twanzebe. They got him season-long loan. Twanzebe surplus requirements to Phil Jones. How you feel?
I hope not. I think Twanzebe, you know, he's got some real quality to him. He signed a new deal, which is good. So we keep him at the club until at least 23 with an option for an additional year. He needs the minutes. You know, if Bailly's fit, this makes sense. The problem is as soon as Bailly goes down with an injury, I want to be able to call on Twanzebe. There's going to be a shit ton of games. He's a solid player. We saw what he did against PSG, sir. He's got quality, has contributions to make to this team, but he needs to be playing week in, week out. I don't even know if that's a certainty at Villa because they have some depth as it relates to the center back position. But gives him an option. As long as he gets minutes, I think he could have a role in the future on this side. But he needs to be playing.
Like you said, I'd like to see him on the bench at Manchester United, you know, because you look at Eric Bailly. Did you see Ivory Coast? Did you see his defending there against Spain in the semifinal? Did you see it?
Missed
Did you watch the highlights?
Did not
see it. Missed it? Okay, well, for those who haven't seen it, Bailly didn't do too well. Let's just say that. Helped Spain win the game, basically in a tight spot. And he, you know, I love Eric Bailly. I'm a huge fan of him. But I just don't – maybe Manchester United is too much for him, but the injury record should say, like Twanzabe, does he have an injury record, sir? I mean, he seems like he's pretty fit, and I think fitness is huge here. I think Twanzabe could be a good four, you know, a good four spot over Bailly almost just because of the reliability. I think center-back reliability is huge. And like you said, I was joking about Phil Jones. No one wants Phil Jones, but Twanzabe, it's more of a, hey, get more playing time, and then maybe Bailly is out next season, right? Yeah. Again, we don't sell anyone. We don't sell anyone, so we just have a lot of guys hanging around collecting checks, which is somehow a thing at United.
A lot of guys just hanging out at the cooler, having a laugh over their 100 grand a week paycheck. I'm looking at you, Phil Jones. Oh my God. Ed Woodward, sir. Like, look at these other transfers being done. Don't get me started. But either way, Twanzabe is probably.
Imagine being Phil Jones and not wanting to just like, at a certain point, you're like, okay, man, I got to like, so like your contract is going to defeat the purpose of your entire career. You're just going to literally sit there and not play and get paid. That's the thing about Barcelona as well. It's like, at what point do you just want to like play football? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why wouldn't you just take like a 40% hit and go play somewhere if you actually think you're good, or you just know that you're bad? Like, it just, you have to ask the question as a person, you know, like, yeah, you can sit on the bench and make money, but you're also only got like one go at it. So why wouldn't you want to play? It's really strange.
Sir, more money, more problems. You know, it's like you're going to get paid. At the end of the day, it's like you got cash on the table. It's going to be hard for anyone to be like, we're going to pay you 10. You can walk away and get 3, you know? So people are going to get paid. Phil Jones, he won the Premier League with Sir Alex Ferguson, sir. So he's like, I'm good, bro. I'm going to keep getting paid. No one's going to give him another contract afterwards.
Well, I understand that, but I understand the world we live in that makes sense. But, you know, I would not be happy if you were actually a competitor and trying to play at the highest level, you know, that wouldn't make me happy just sitting around collecting checks and being a joke. The butt of the joke for this podcast, the butt of the joke for probably everybody around you, which is kind of strange. And I guess pink Lamborghinis, if that's your thing, dude, then yeah, I guess you collect checks. You're you know, you're a chump.
Sir, if you're going to be the butt of the joke anyway, you might as well get paid to do it.
Sir, you know what? There's a yin and a yang. Another low move here, Palestri. He went out to Deportivo Alaves. I don't know if I got that right on the pronunciation, sir. 19-year-old. I like him. I liked him in red. You know, I don't want Ahmad to go. As long as Ahmad does not go on loan, then I'm fine with this one. One of them has to go on loan. Palestri, I don't know. He could do damage coming off the bench, sir.
He could, but he's only 19, and the kid's got quality. Like, you see that. We saw that in preseason. You could tell he's a player there. Needs to get minutes. Needs to get knocked around a little bit. Perfect league for him to be in. Good side for him to be in. He'll feature often. Get his confidence up. He's in the waiting in the wings. This is not like a, you know, I feel like Heath Chong's sun is fading. Like, he's never going to have a chance given all the options we have on the wing. I think Facundo does have a chance. I think he's good enough. I think he's got the mentality for it. He just probably needs another season on loan to kind of like build out a little bit more, get some goals in him. That's what he needs, like a breakout season, scoring like 12 goals for a low side like this in La Liga. You'd love to see it.
Yeah, well, we're kind of becoming Chelsea with these like permalone players. Think about it. Chelsea, permalone, Salah, sold him. Permalone, De Bruyne, sold him. You know, it doesn't, at a certain point, you got to try him at Old Trafford. You got to try him at United. I'm not saying that at right wing, we don't need to loan one of them out. We do. But at what, like, Tate Chong, if you're going to permalone him, sell him, right? If you're not going to bring him in this season, be like, I get going on loan a year, but he's got to be incorporated in the squad next season. These permalones, like, aren't working out. They're not working out. Look at Pereira. It just hasn't come off for United that well. Twanzabe is the same character, like, loan Aston Villa, Then he comes back. Then we don't play him. Then we're going to loan him again. He's kind of in limbo. It's not helping him or us. And then he'll eventually be like Foster Mensah, right? Get sold for $1 million to Leverkusen or somewhere in Bundesliga. It just hasn't worked out. There needs to be actually a pecking order where we're trying to integrate these players in the team. And I just don't want Facundo to be one of those players.
No, I see that argument as well. You know, but I like to think that we have more of a culture of integrating youth players than Chelsea ever will. You know, look at their track record versus ours. Twanzebe, it seemed to make sense until it didn't. Lingard went on loan, right? Hendo went on loan. They're like vying for a first team spot. Whether or not they actually make the cut is another story.
No, but Hendo's the perfect example. He goes on loan. He's the best keeper in the world. Comes back. You know, it's kind of you got to be careful. I used to think loans were very simple. Like, yeah, you loan him out. He'll come back. He'll get playing time. It'll be great. But it's the reincorporating them into United is the hard part. Once they keep going out on loan, like Chong is a great point. Like, if we incorporate him into United, say, this season, could he be a player? We'll never know if he just keeps going on loan to, you know, Belgium, and it's just not going to help us. And then he won't get sold for a good price. And I was really pumped when we brought him in, and seeing how his career is going, it's like, if you can't get Chong right, how can you get Palestri right? Or how can you get, you know, like Twanzebe is a perfect example. Like, what does this Villa loan really do other than us getting wages off the books?
Well, that's a good question, sir. But you know what? You got to look at the management, look how this club is run. You know, are all decisions making sense? Some of these are just like, you wish you could sell it, but they're not good at selling players anyway. Lingard, like you said, there should be a market for that. There should be a market to sell him for at least 20, 25 million pounds domestically. We can't even do that. So this club is like daylight dollar short, FC, always in the back foot. And this transfer window, it has been good, these two additions, but it's like, it's all about the ins and the outs, the combo, the full story put together. And a lot of it's just like passing the buck for another year, kicking the can down the road. And the ultimate encapsulation of kicking the can down the road is just loaning players out instead of selling them.
What is it? Last 3 years, Dan James, right winger. Ahmad, right winger. Palestri, right winger. Sancho, right wing. It's like,
makes no sense.
Buy all those players, and then what do? And the only reason we bought Ahmad and the only reason we bought Facundo is because we weren't going to buy Sancho, but we bought Sancho.
No, it's so stupid. I know, sir. It makes no sense. And you have Alonga. You have players in the academy who I don't want to start comping players, but like Alonga is like having an Ahmad or a Facundo already in the wings. And then you sign the world-class player a season later when you probably should have bought a young CDM or a young CB. You know, sir, I don't know what's going on with this club. I got to tell you.
I don't know. Hey, we can yap about it. I'll tell you that much. Next one here, Manchester United looked to steal a march on PSG and signing Eduardo Camavinga with League One side's preoccupation over getting Lionel Messi, creating a window for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to strike. Sir, you're in the know on the Camavinga. What is the deal here with Camavinga? You think that Messi getting to PSG, Camavinga is not going to go? I've kind of heard that his agent's pushing this United link, but there's not much to it. What do you make of Camavinga? This window, next window, on the radar or not?
You know, what I've read, what I've heard through the grapevine is that we do want him. We're in for him, but he doesn't really want us. He prefer a move to either PSG or Spain, whether it be the two big boys, Real Madrid and Barcelona. So I think the agent's pushing for him because he knows United be willing to pay. We are like the front of the line at the moment because PSG's, you know, they're looking elsewhere. They want people that are going to give them a contribution right now so they can win the title and maybe the title, the Champions League, and keep Mbappe. But if the tide would turn, this is the perfect kind of player to be an heir apparent to Nemanja Matic and be like the next CDM for Manchester United, playing in between Rafael Varane and Harry Maguire, behind Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes. So that is a side. Whether or not, like, but the thing is, we don't want to buy players that don't want to come because we've seen that movie before. We know how poorly that ends up. You don't do that. You need people that like are pumped, a la Varane, to join United. He wants to join United. That's one of the reasons why I'm very optimistic about that signing, and I think it'll be a good one because his head's in it for the right reason, and that's half the battle, right? Sanchez, right?
Sanchez.
We'll talk about Sanchez in a second.
Sanchez.
That's actually a good point. We'll talk about, Sanchez, he didn't want to come to United. All this stuff came out. Like, day one, he was miserable. It's like, bro, we're paying you £500,000 a week and you're miserable? Like, F off. You need people that are in it for the cause because look around. We look at Bruno. Look at Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Rashford, these players want to be there, want to fight for the badge. It's got to be all in. Everyone committed to the cause. So Kamavinga, hell of a player. He would look great in red. If he doesn't want to be playing for this Manchester United side now, then it's just like we got to look elsewhere. You know who does? Ruben Neves. I could tell he'd die to play for this team, bro.
I know. But, you know, we're owned by the Glazers, sir. You know how it goes. Next bit of news, we just have to touch on it. Earth-shattering news, Messi's leaving Barcelona because they're even broker than Manchester United. They are really screwed, sir. Messi had to leave. They couldn't register him. You know, as we've all seen it. You know, English football prominence in Europe. Then Spain came on top, winning the Champions League over and over and over again. Now Spain, sun setting on them, financial fair play. They're really taking it seriously there. Messi leaving, apparently going to PSG. Sir, I gave the presser this morning, the whole thing, the crying, everything. The one thing about Messi leaving Barcelona I don't understand is like all those players who are on really big wages, like the Phil Joneses at Barcelona that are making Messi leave because they won't take pay cuts. Like Messi wanted to take half of a pay cut. If they all took half of a pay cut, then they get to play with Messi. So I don't understand why these players would rather get paid money to play on a worse team and bankrupt the club that they're playing for than try to work something out here. It's a tragedy. And unfortunately, you know, the nation states who are oil rich that decided to come into the football game are going to get all these big players because COVID came and, you know, crushed these big clubs. And, you know, I'm just glad there's one club run worse than we are, and Messi's out, sir. And then there's chain reaction here because PSG wanted Pogba. Now they don't. They're getting Messi. They're not going to do Pogba. So Pogba's going to stay. He's going to run his deal down. He's going to tell us everything we want to hear. And then he's going to try to leave on a free, sir. Everyone who thinks Pogba wants to stay, oh, he really likes Manchester United. He just doesn't want to make up his mind yet, sir. For all the young men in the dating game, it's like, come on, man. It's like a girl tells you that, a player tells you that, they're leaving, sir. They're just going to tell you when they hold all the cards. Pogba doesn't hold the cards yet until his deal's up in January. Big distraction. I know Stan Chow is going to give you his thoughts on Paul Pogba, but short of Manchester United being top of the table and everyone playing lights out, everything happening for him, which, you know, that's an outside shot. I think he's going to be leaving on a free. And this Messi deal kind of screws us in that way, because selling him and getting money and then maybe buying a Neves or buying Trippier, that could help right now. We're sell to buy club here. Sell to buy with a broken stadium. We don't even have a new stadium to sell to buy.
That's embarrassing.
We have a rundown stadium. Sell to buy.
Hey, we got a fresh coat of paint. It's not going to do it. Stan will tell you about that. It's embarrassing, sir. They're still in a march. Pogba, you got to be able to see the forest through the trees. You got to know he's leaving. And right now, you got to reinforce that position as he's making up his mind. You know he's on the way out. Get a Ruben Neves. For some reason, there's a bargain bin price, probably because of the change of managers. Good time for him to get him. If not, get a Saul. He's also looking to move. It's just like you need to chip up in that position, give yourself more options, and just plan ahead for when you know you're going to lose players. It kind of talks about just like the short-sightedness of this club. Lukaku is a great example of that, sir. It's like, what are you doing? Sell him for a loss. And then Inter Milan, who owe us money, are going to make all this money on the transfer because they bought him at a bargain for some reason, right? Like, one thing to sell him, he's a proven goal scorer in the Premier League. You sell him for a loss, never makes any sense. And then he's going back to Chelsea. And, dude, he's going to score goals for Chelsea. We're on him now.
Sir, you covered it. The next transfer, these transfers are going to impact United in some way. So the Lukaku to Chelsea, we're going to get paid by that. We have a sell-on percentage, as well as it's believed Inter owe us money, Inter are in financial trouble. So United are going to get paid some type of money for Lukaku, which will benefit us. And also Chelsea being huge in for Haaland. They were talking bidding 175. Dortmund doesn't want to sell. They get their number nine this season. I doubt they're going to be splashing for number nine next season, which is sort of when we could get Haaland when his transfer, I think the buyout clause, triggers. The next one, Harry Kane. Just you love to see Harry Kane play for Spurs his whole life, comes up from Spurs, and then he tries to force a move, and he bottles that, sir. Bottles everything he does. You know, sorry to all the England fans out there. Harry Kane doing Harry Kane things, not going to training, trying to force the move, blows up in his face. Then the press release that I'm coming back, that was always the plan. I never like, dude, he clapped off the fans and cried. He did the interview with Gary Neville. He did everything you do to leave, like, in the most aggressive way. Didn't show up to training, and then literally backtracks on all of it and will show up and win nothing with Spurs this season. This one kind of screws us in a way, because now, man, shitty could be in for Haaland. So as much as I'm like to have a laugh at Harry Kane doing Spurs things, I'd almost like him to go to City, because then there's less clubs in for Haaland. We know Barca's broke, Real Madrid's struggling. They want Mbappe, sir. Then it kind of, the tea leaves kind of show you Haaland to United, and that's, I don't know why I want that, but I just want to see that Viking yell in red at the Stretford End, my man.
You don't know why you want it, sir, because Haaland would score like 300 goals. He would score so many goals for this team. And you know what? One of the pieces of the puzzle is Lukaku to Chelsea, probably. He also, like, I don't think he wants to go to Chelsea. I think he just told them straight up, I'm not going to push for it. And I really, you know, you're not at the top of the list even next year. You need Harry to go to City, because City's like the favorite, bro. With his dad connect and their oil-rich owners and the fact that they just spend money like they do, that's the problem. You've been kind of laughing at Harry Kane, bro. This guy having a good laugh, Harry Kane's expense. Very Spursy move. It's very Spursy move. And I agree with that. The funniest bit is him being like, oh, no, I wasn't sitting out. This is always the plan, which is the best. That's like such a great move. It's like, no, dude, I was always coming. Back. That's why Sky Sports.
I didn't want to leave. I love this club.
That's funny.
Oh, bro. Oh, it's a tough one. I feel bad for Harry Kane, dude. He's a consummate professional. The way he carried England in the Euros, but he just got this, like, he's got some bad juju or something. Sorry, he can't win a trophy. I feel bad for the guy, you know. But you're right. So it comes down to us and probably shitty for Haaland. And it's going to be more of a recruitment strategy than, like, similar. You talk about Pogba. It's like how well United does this season is kind of like selling them to re-sign. How well United does this season is selling Haaland to sign. If City win the Champions League and win the league and do the double and we kind of have a bad season, it's going to be hard to sell Haaland, you know, because – That's one of those things. It's not Haaland or a bust, but whenever players like this become available and you're sort of doing it's like the recruiting strategies. You know, it's like if you watch the NBA in the States, like when LeBron becomes available, everyone gives him the pitch of where he should go. And this is kind of what you're seeing here. It's like everyone's going to be pitching Haaland, and we hope he loves Ole. We hope we have a good season. We hope Pogba re-signs. We hope we get Haaland, sir. For all the stuff I say about Pogba, I want him to re-sign. I want everything to work out. So, you know. In my dreams, Haaland comes, Pogba resigns. Sir, have you won the treble? That's all I gotta say.
Like Phil and Gary Neville. Sir, it's true. It's like the pieces that need to fall into place. I'm more concerned about Haaland at this point. In my mind, Pogba was already basically gone, because he's checked out in some ways. At least United fans, I feel like they have, because they know he's leaving. So it's just like you don't want to stay so invested in the player. But as it relates to Haaland, we need Ole to show him, A, because it's like all about Ole putting up points on the board this year to A, like sell the long-term viability of him as the guy that's going to bring United back to glory. He's done everything else so well, player recruitment, man management, bringing in people behind him, below him, just to put him in a position to succeed. But he needs to like prove it to the board, to the fans, and to Erling Haaland that this is the team he wants to join, and he's the manager he's going to join under. So it's like you need all those things to come into play, and if they do, it'll be a good season for us. It'll be good future seasons for this team. But so this is a big season, because now we're just talking about all these things coming into play. It's like, whoo, 21-22 is a giant season for this club, for this manager, for this side. Can't wait. Let's go.
Sir, I really, you have to think of where we've been in the last couple of seasons. Last season, we didn't expect to be in a race. We kind of were for a little bit. It didn't work out. This season, I think we expect to be in a race. We've been in a race. This locker room knows what it means. And like, I think everyone's learning. Everyone's getting better, including Ole. I think he's going to learn from that game that we're not going to talk about, sir. And I really hope for special things for United. I couldn't be more excited about this season. And I don't think there's a coincidence that Chevrolet logo is off that kit either, sir. So, you know.
I tell you what, team viewers growing on me. It's like, hey, boss, we're scrapping Zoom. We're getting TeamViewer. They're the next hot thing in the tech world. Sign them up. Let's go.
Sir, but we have an extra special interview with our man, fan of the pod, fan of the greatest club in the world, Stan Chow. Sir, you want to give the intro? You did a great job with the interview.
Sir, let's get right into it. Stan Chow, friend of the pod, happy to have him back on. Bring it to you live, American Red Devil style. Let's go. And we are live once again with the one and only world famous Stan Chow, illustrator, artist extraordinaire, Mank, and friend of the pod. Stan, great to have you back on. How are things?
Oh, things are great. Thank you very much. You know, looking forward to the new season. And you know, looking forward to actually going back to watch football again live, you know, so that's exciting. So yeah, it's good. It's been, well, I saw the last home game, but you know, last season felt like a bit of a blur. So yeah, definitely looking forward to kind of hanging out at Old Trafford again.
Aren't we all? We'll get into United in a bit. How is your summer going though? How's everything going in the UK and in Manchester on the home front?
Yeah, it's all right. You know, we're kind of like you know, we're kind of easing out of the pandemic, I guess. You know, it's a bit crazy, obviously, and you know, I'm a bit anxious. You know, all in all, my family are good. Everything's good. We've been camping a few times. You know, so yeah, on the whole, like, in life's not bad.
Love to hear it. And football's right around the corner. Speaking of football, there was some football this summer. Did you get a chance to watch the Euros?
Yeah, I watched most of the games on TV. Yeah, it was an interesting game. A few weeks of football. Yeah, it has to be said. You know, obviously disappointed that England didn't win, but nonetheless, you know, it's over now. I couldn't care less. Just, you know, it's happened. I'm just kind of like looking forward to the. I'm more interested in Man United than England ultimately. Yeah.
You and me both. But what did you make of England? What did you think of that final? And who was your player of the tournament?
Oh, player of the tournament. Oh God. I mean, for England, I thought Luke Shaw was fantastic. You know, it's good to see his form carry on into the England team. I mean, England, I thought were great. You know, my main disappointment with England was the lack of. The lack of using the attacking subs, you know. I mean, it was like, we had like, hardly used Grealish, hardly used Rashford, hardly used Sancho, you know, it was like, hardly used Foden. I mean, like, as a Man United fan, I love Phil Foden. And I mean, it's like, this is crazy, man, you know, it's like, we got such good, great attacking qualities on the bench, and they never came on, you know. And I felt that was a bit of mismanagement there on England's part. But on the whole, you know, it looked like there was a good kind of unit there. And it looks like, you know, going into the World Cup next year, I think we should, you know, England should look positive, look, optimistic.
You think Gareth Southgate's still the guy to take him to success in Qatar next fall?
As a, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I really like Gareth Southgate as a person, you mean, and I think as the England manager, he's great, but I just felt some of his choices, you know, maybe a bit, I mean, like, you know, they weren't attacking enough. I felt he tried to contain the game and instead of trying to actually win the game, you know. But yeah, I know I like him, you know. I can't think of any, there's no one else there, I guess, you know what I mean, to take his job, you know. You know, we don't have a great choice in terms of English managers. So yeah, I think Gareth Southgate is the man for the job for now.
Fair enough. And let's switch gears to United for a second. Are you still recovering from the heartbreak of Gdansk? Because that was a tough one for John and I. I was in mourning personally for a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, I kind of get over defeats a lot, quite, you know, a lot easier than I used to. You mean, I guess, like, I'm getting older and I'm also guessing, like, my, you know, in terms of my expectations of Man United, they're lowered a lot now. So losing games isn't such a bad pill to swallow. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I mean, like, I'm also very appreciative of the 20 odd years we had with Alex Ferguson. Do you know what I mean? You know, So it's kind of like, you know, it's all swings and roundabouts. You know, it's all kind of like everything, you know, circular in terms of like, you know, we're going to have a few bad seasons or maybe a prolonged amount of bad years, but it'll come round again, you know, hopefully in my lifetime, you know what I mean? I take a very kind of more mellow approach now to supporting my team than I used to, you know, I'm less ferocious. You know, I'm just kind of like, I'm more of a passive fan now, you know, basically, you know, again, you know, it's just my expectations of the team. I like, I don't expect to win all the time now, you know, like we used to. So it's finally kind of, you know, obviously I'm disappointed, but, you know, the feelings go kind of quite quickly, really. But in terms of that final, I mean, I think we just ran out of steam, really. You mean it? Ran out of steam and also kind of tactically outwitted in that final. And like, and maybe what Solskjaer should have done was change goalkeepers, like right on the final whistle. You mean it? Because we know De Gea can't save penalties. I mean, like, if you read my tweets, you would have read like, we need to get De Gea off for penalties. You mean it? So it was kind of like, yeah, but you know, I kind of felt like when it came to penalties, you can't be too disappointed, I think, when you lose on penalties, you know.
No doubt. And just putting the last sword in Gdansk once and for all, yeah. I think you have the right opinion. The Stoic is like, you know, we have tough years. We've had a lot of tough years at United over the last century, and we've had a lot of good years, and it comes in waves, just like you said. That sub, the lack of subs that Ole made, you know, he's sometimes done that in games. I think the one that hit me the hardest was Hendo, but Hendo not going in just because of his sub record. Yeah. But, you know, I think we should have tried and probably gone for the game in the first 120 minutes and not wanting to go to penalties, but
yeah,
can't change it now, right?
No, you can't. You know, it's like, I think it was a season, it was a year of like, of managers not, of being cautious. I think maybe it's a case of like the fact that we are living in a pandemic is just making people more cautious on every aspect of life. You mean it? So when you're cautious in life, you're cautious on whatever, and everything else you do. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that actually is the case for you, but for me, it's like, I'm just generally cautious in life now because of the pandemic, you know. And I think whether that's kind of filtered through in choices as a football manager, I don't know. Maybe I'm, you know, that's my thinking anyway, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, I think that's a really good point, Stan, and especially as it relates to Ole. Let's talk about the guy in a second. But throwing caution to the wind, you know, you saw Unai Emery do it in the game. You saw the Italy manager do it in the game, just throwing subs on. Yeah. We didn't do it. Yeah. Do you think Ole, you know, sometimes is a little too cautious as it relates, and maybe he's not quite hard enough on the players, and just say sometimes you got to yank them? You know, Rashford looked like dusted in that game. He was carrying an injury. Yeah. He probably needed to be pulled pretty early.
Well, yeah, no, Rashford probably shouldn't have even started that game, to be honest with you. I mean, as much as I love him. But yeah, I think he probably doesn't make the tougher decision. Well, I don't know. It's like, I think, like, admittedly, like, our squad, like, for that game, the team did look knackered, you know, they looked really tired. And I think, like, and also, like, Ole has shown, like, this season, he's not trusted some of his second string players, you know. And I guess he just didn't, you know. Yeah, I think his issue was he didn't have faith in his second string players, really. You mean it wasn't because he didn't want to put certain players on. It's like he's not seeing them deliver. You know, it's like Donny should have played. You think Donny van der Beek should have played? You mean because he hasn't really kind of like flourished this season. I guess he saw that as a risk. He should have definitely been more riskier. But I think also it was almost a kind of like everything throughout the season. You mean he's not given some of his second string players enough game time for him to be trusted in the final, I guess. And like, that's his own fault. It's his own doing, really.
No, that's a good point, especially if you compare it to how Fergie would kind of build up these squad players and then just kind of give them the self-belief to go into a game and act like world beaters, you know, when asked to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the games when, like, for example, if we're leading 3-0, 2-0 up, get your best players on, and the second string player should literally kind of, you know, get more minutes, basically. You know, I think that's really important. I think, you know, that you can't rely on your first 11 all the time. I mean, like, I remember, like, the season before last, like, it was like he didn't even change his starting lineup for 7 games,
right?
Or whatever record that was. It was like, I mean, like, initially it looked good, but then towards the kind of end of that, it was like, oh, hang on, this is a serious issue now. You need to rotate a bit here. You mean, you know, because the first 11 are just too tired now.
Totally. And last thing on Ole, do you think he deserved the new contract? Do you think that's justified?
Well, yeah, totally justified. I think we've come second in the league, like, with a team. If you look at our squad compared to Man City's squad, it's way below. You know what I mean? And we came second. You know, you can't. I think our position. Yeah, we should have been second in terms of the actual quality of players. You know, like. You know, on paper, anyway. So, and he's improved every season. You know, the team looked better this season than last season than the season before. So I do think he deserved a new contract. Yeah, definitely.
I agree. He's definitely steadied the ship. So, switching gears a little bit, a lot has happened since last time we spoke. What do you make of the whole Super League fiasco, short-lived, ensuing, and also short-lived kind of Glazer out push? I don't want to press you too much on that, but mainly, like, how did things play with the Super League locally?
Well, yeah, like, everyone, like, yeah, I knew a lot of people who went there to demonstrate, you know, so locally, yeah, like, and the fans weren't happy. I mean, let's be fair, I'm glad it's over. You mean, I'm glad we don't have to worry about that issue anymore. And the less said about it, the better. But the Glazers doing a U-turn is interesting. You mean, you know, it's kind of, I mean, like, how much of a U-turn are they doing? You know, in terms of, like, you know, it looks good that on paper that they're stumping up the money for Sancho and Varane even. But also it's like they need to kind of start pumping money into the infrastructure of the actual. Of Man United, you know, the stadium and all the things surrounding it. You mean it seems to me it's like with the Glazers, they're just paper over in cracks now. You mean where actually you really need to kind of, you know, the money that comes in should be invested into the team, into the squad, into the club, into everything, and not you shouldn't, you know, the fact that they're just draining the money out of the club is actually quite, you know, we can see it happening. You know what I mean, it's like, it's you know, you go to the stadium and like a fresh lick of paint isn't good enough, you know. That's that's my main issue with the Glazers, really.
And it's a fair point. Like, fair
it's,
point
it's less of a Super League now, you know, and it's like I guess the Super League is another thing that kind of masks over the way they run the club. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if the Super League works out, it's almost kind of like a smokescreen to all the kind of things that they're kind of not really actually spending money. Well, this is it. They don't really want to spend more money than they need to, really. You know, which is kind of, you know, with a club this size, you need to kind of invest more. You know, it's almost criminal to kind of, God, that's a really harsh word, but maybe criminal might be too strong, but it feels like, you know, it's like as a Man United fan, it's like, guys, you know, put that money back into the club, please, you know.
Absolutely. It's not too strong of a word for this pod, Stan, so don't worry about it. Especially, like, you know, given what they inherited, the manager that they inherited, the squad they inherited, selling Ronaldo, and then basically like the absence of investment after Ronaldo was sold. So I think those are very fair words. Speaking of money being spent, what do you make of United's transfer window thus far? Do you think it's enough for us to challenge for the title this year without additional signings? And if it was up to you, who else would you like us to sign?
Well, I think the signings are good. I think they're good enough to make us challenge with City. But if City are going to buy Grealish and Kane, then maybe we need to buy a few more players as well. As it stands. Varane and Sancho are great. If Pogba stays, great. But it looks like Pogba's going. But actually, don't know. This is another one. See, we're gonna have Pogba for another season. Is he gonna run out his contract? I guess we do need a. We talk about a defensive midfielder. But for me, if we just have a solid midfield, it kind of negates the need for a defensive midfielder, if you know what I mean. Sometimes kind of like, sometimes we're reaching a point where the defensive midfield, we're too reliant on the defensive midfielder. Do you know what I mean? I think if we had a coherent midfield, we wouldn't really, maybe a kind of a change in tactics, really, where you can actually eliminate a defensive midfielder where everyone does their bit, if you know what I mean, I guess if Pogba goes, we need another midfield for sure, and I think that's probably about it. We hear about Trippier joining. If Trippier is a good catalyst for making Wan-Bissaka a better player, then that's great, in the same way that Telles has kind of kick-started Luke Shaw's career. Just by signing a player to kind of motivate another player has been an interesting tactic, really.
No, it's a good point. It worked out really well with Telles and Luke Shaw, of course. Switching gears, just because you mentioned it, Paul Pogba, the enigma that is Paul Pogba. Do you think he's going to sign a new contract? There was some smoke last couple of days from Fabrizio Romano that it's looking likely, but anyone who knows the man and seen how things have gone over the last couple of years, feels like more likely he's going to leave for a free and sign a bumper deal wherever he wants. How do you think it's going to play out, Stan?
Oh, God. I kind of think he doesn't sign a new contract yet. And basically he's going to look like he's going to play out the last season. And then come January, when he's eligible for a free transfer, he changes his mind and signs a long-term contract. Because the team was just working so well, it just seems like stupid for him to actually leave United. I think he will see out the season, but halfway through, if we're playing well enough, he might change his mind, basically. That's what I'm kind of guessing, hoping, whatever. It's like, if hopefully the team are gelling well enough to make him want to stay is my hope. Because I think for the 8 or 9 games we missed, he got injured last season, we totally missed him. We were like 10 points ahead of City at the time. But by the time he came back from his injury, we were 10 points behind Man City. And that was so if anyone says we didn't miss him in that period, they're off their heads, if you ask me. It's quite clear that he was an important player, and we missed him more than most fans think that we did, if you know what I mean.
No doubt. We're definitely a better team with him on our side. I am agreed with you, Stan. I think he's going to leave himself the optionality to sign a new deal here or sign a deal elsewhere. But I think it'll be dependent on if we can kind of start the season on a rip and top of the league by Christmas, he might be well, we're building something here, especially if we can have a really good transfer window and everyone's kind of bought in on the future plan.
But also I think he's very swayed by the fans. There's obviously a big proportion of the fans don't want him at United. That's quite clear. But also, I think it's also become aware is like there's a lot of PSG fans that want Pogba at PSG. Do you know what I mean? That's something that's been made clear too. You know what I mean? And I think like he's probably more likely to wait for a different offer. Really, I don't think he really wants to join PSG, to be honest with you. But I think like at that time, like last week, PSG seemed to be the only option out. But now he's realised the PSG that fans don't want him. He might as well just stay put for now.
No, it's a good point. I think they're the only team in for him this year because Real are going all in for Mbappe. So it's a good point. Switching back, last thing talking about United transfers. Two players, you know, one of the positions I think, and John and I spoke about it a lot in the last pod, is like CDM, just to give Ole more options, potentially, you know, play that 4-3-3 that we've kind of heard through the grapevine that Ole might be favoring. Two players that have kind of been top of the list is Sal at Atletico and Ruben Neves from Wolves. Who of those two would you prefer, Stan?
I'll probably go for Neves because he's the younger one, his passing range is the nuts. You know, his passing range is kind of like in the Pogba, Carrick, you know, sphere. Do you know what I mean? But also his long range shooting. Like I've seen him score against. Did he score against United?
Oh yeah, 2 years ago. Banger, top pin.
There was a goal, and like you know, it was like. I mean, he has a knack for the spectacular every now and again, and as a United fan, we always like players who can do that. You mean?
Totally. I agree with you. I think Saul has the resume. You know, it's like he's won quite a bit with Atletico, but I like the Neves Portuguese connect with Bruno, and passing is unbelievable. The long balls would be such an asset.
Yeah. Well, I also think he's the younger player. You know what I mean? I think like, and we always, I mean like. We should always go for the, you know, trying to get players to kind of improve as a United player. Where I think Sal was just kind of, you know, we'll have him for 2 or 3 seasons, and then he'll just stink the place out. You mean, you know, that's what I think. You mean he'll end up being a squad player, and then he'll end up like every season there'll be a portion of fans like, we need to sell him, he's deadwood. You know, but. I don't know, but I think, don't get me wrong, I've seen a few Atletico Madrid games a few seasons ago, and he is a terrific player, but I don't think we need him. I think we got Donny for now. You mean, you know, that's I think Saul and Donny are players that you can compare with each other with. You know what I mean? You know?
Totally, he's kind of like a utility midfielder, can play everywhere pretty well, whereas Ruben Neves, is like a pure play CDM. And also, I think he would get much better playing around the players that he would play with at United versus who he plays with at Wolves.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The United players will make him look a better player, basically, and that's for sure.
So, the last player I want to talk about as it relates to United transfers is Erling Haaland. Big name. You know, we probably had a couple sniffs at him 2018, and then obviously right before we signed Bruno.
Yeah.
This year, he doesn't really want to move, right? Like, Chelsea went big offer. Now they're going to Lukaku. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Haaland, do you think we're in the mix for him for next year when he's likely to move?
You know something? Like, my hope is like, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. We want the best players at Man United. But, like, my hope is like Greenwood will get so good this season that we don't need him. We'll have like, you know, players like Sancho will get so good and Rashford comes back from his injury. They become so good that we don't need them. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm hoping Ilanga is amazing. You know, like he comes up because like watching him in the friendlies, like in the last few weeks, he's been fantastic. You know, watching the under 23 games last season, he's the one, really. You mean it? I mean, like sure, Tire. I mean, maybe a bit early for him, but you know, like we know how good someone like Mason Greenwood could become. So that's what I'm holding out for. You mean it? He knocks in 20-25 goals this season, then we don't need to worry about Haaland. Do you know what I mean? But having said that, I'm sure we are in the mix, and I think like Ollie's long-term contract would be is an attraction for Haaland, do you mean? I mean, they've always had connections in the past, do you mean? So hopefully their relationship is still strong, really, you know. But ultimately, it'll be, you know, being pure Manchester, I like to see, like, the kids from within kind of take hold of the team, you know what I mean? You know, instead of us having to buy Haaland. But again, you know, I'll take him if he's available. But I don't, you know, but yeah, I still think our kids, you know, fingers crossed, will do the stuff for us, basically.
Oh, I love that. I mean, that is the United way when you think about it. And Greenwood has all this, you know, all the tools in his tool chest to kind of be a world class striker. It's just it's a matter of, you know, when, not if. So
yeah, sure. Yeah.
And Elanga looks to be, like, of the crop of academy players that are breaking through, you know, versus the Hannibals and the Shortires, like you mentioned, he looks the pick of the litter. Like you said,
yeah.
Preseason, I mean, he's looked great.
Yeah. I mean, like, I tell something, like, even if Pelestri does, you know, I mean, like, Pelestri looks like he's a player as well, you know. I'm totally. Kind of half hoping he doesn't want to go out on loan, but it looks like, you know, if he does, I mean, I want to kind of see them all on the bench. Do you know what I mean? You know, and have like 20 minutes every week. You know, at least that's my kind of that'll be my hope anyway.
I'd love to see that. Speaking of which, what are your expectations of how we're likely to do this year? You know, how do you think we're going to finish in the league? Are we going to pick up any trophies? How do you think it's going to shake out?
I mean, like, I like to think we can pick up a trophy. You know, there's, I mean. You know what? If we finish second in the league, it ain't a bad thing, because if City buy Kane and Grealish, I mean, in all honesty, they're gonna have a squad that's pretty unbeatable, really. You know, and second wouldn't be too disappointed with second. Obviously, don't get me wrong. Obviously, I want to win, but if second. Anything less than second would be disappointing, really, you know. And, like, you know, I like to see if United get into the semi-finals or the Champions League, at least. You know what I mean? Because at least that showed progress, you know. I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's like, I want to win trophies, but if we can play football throughout the season that looks great, it will almost kind of negate the fact that we don't win anything. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's like, I think like for me, it's become more important that I want to see, like, amazing football on the pitch. You know, like, I mean, like, winning for me now is the bonus now. You know, I think essentially, we just want to see great football week in, week out, exciting great football week in, week out. You know, and maybe kind of become within touching distance of a trophy. That, you know, I mean, like, it gets to a point where, like, it's such a fine line between winning and losing. You know, we've seen in the two major finals in the England v Italy and like United versus Villarreal. You know, it's just it's just one kick of the ball. That's the difference, really. You know, it could have gone either way, really. You know. So in terms of winning trophies, it doesn't matter. I just want to see great football more than anything else. You know, I want United to have a team where that's remembered, like the 1982 Brazil team in the World Cup. You know, because that was my first kind of that football team is like ingrained in my brain. You know, so and like they won nothing, but. But they will always be remembered for being the best football team that didn't win anything, and that almost kind of is enough for me for now. You know,
Stan, you're a football purist, and I love it. Because everyone's talking about trophies or bust this year. I've certainly said it, but you think we finish second, come close, no cigar, and whether it's League Cup, FA Cup, not Europa League, we're done with that. Champions League, whatever. As long as we're showing progress, do you think Ole's job is secure?
Yeah, pretty much so. Yeah, I think, like, I mean, like, obviously, everyone wants to win, you know, but like, there's only there's not many trophies and there's hundreds of teams, you know. So we can't, you know. I mean, it's harder for every team to win a trophy every season, you know. I mean, it's like it's come to a point where there's not really any favourites anymore now, you know. And because there's no favourites, it just becomes harder for everyone, really, you know.
Totally. Wrapping up with that, who do you think will be our player of the season this year? Who do you think will be our top goal scorer when it's all done and dusted?
You know what? I think if Cavani has a good start this season, he could well, you know. I mean, like, I was surprised by how good Cavani was, to be honest with you. You know, I think, like, we got him for free. And, like, and then all of a sudden, you know, he was played sporadically. But then you think, like, shit, man, he should have more minutes. You know, he's almost kind of like, he's obviously a better number nine than Martial is, you know. Or maybe Martial will come good. But I think, like, you know, I think Cavani might kind of leave this, you know, end his career at United with a high, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, you just look at his last goal he scored against Fulham. I mean, it's like that is one of the greatest goals you'll see at Old Trafford. You know? I mean, I'll go as far as saying that's the second best goal I've seen at Old Trafford, you know, in live. So it's So he's still got it in his locker to do something really good. You know, and if he plays as the main number nine, he's got potential to score lots of goals. And now that he's used to the Premier League, so I think he'll surprise everyone, really. Like, well, he's not surprised anymore now. Everyone knows how good he is. You know,
he surprised me. I'll tell you that. I was not on the Cavani train, and now I'm choo-choo full on because he's a world-class talent. And he's experienced, his movement's unbelievable. Yeah. I want to ask a follow-up, though. Second best goal you've ever seen. What's the best goal you've ever seen at Old Trafford?
Oh, the Robin van Persie goal, you know.
Villa?
20, yeah, against Villa, yeah. That was like, I mean, it's the Rooney pass as well, the Rooney pass. And then the volley is like, woo! You know, it was the most perfect goal I've ever seen, you know.
I love it.
And also won the league as well. You know, it wasn't just a great goal; it won the league. You know, so that was the importance of that goal.
Ooh, can't wait for those days to come back. you know, as we're just wrapping up, I can't help but ask more questions about United. Do you think Donny will have a breakthrough year this year?
Yeah, well, I think Ollie's talks about it and like talks about playing more of an attacking team now. I think naturally he'll probably get more minutes as well, And I think I'm pretty sure he'll get more minutes this season. I mean, he looked good in the last come in against Brentford, you know, when he came on in the friendly. I think hopefully, you know. But then again, we've got Jesse. It's difficult, Jesse's not going anywhere. So you know, they're vying for the same positions, aren't they? But I think you'll get more minutes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I hope so. I didn't even write this on the agenda, but now I have to ask. There's a lot of potential outgoings. You know, who's going to move this summer, right? De Gea has been talked about, obviously, Lingard, Jones, Dalot, Andres Pereira. Like, you think we're going to be stuck with all these players heading into, once the window closes on the end of August?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's no team with the money to come in for, you know. There's no team with the money to come in with like for the, you know, can pay the wages. Phil Jones, no one can pay his wages. I mean, he's happy to stick at United until his contract's up. Really, why take a pay cut of more than 50%. You know what I mean? When he can just sit on the bench, well, not even sit on the bench, sit in the stands and earn the money he's getting, you know. So I don't know. It depends. It all depends on how committed these players want to play football. Really, you know. I get the impression Phil Jones, when his contract's up at United, he's just going to retire. That's like, Pereira. Oh, did you see his goal? God,
what a goal!
I mean, Pereira, you know, I think teams will be in for Pereira. You mean, I admittedly love Pereira, but I don't think I think we've got enough kind of like attacking midfielders, like for now. You mean, and yeah, I know Twenzebe is probably going out on loan, but yeah, I think ultimately, I think United are just waiting for like a good enough offer for any of the players, really. You mean, I simply just don't think, you know, the offers have come in. I think most teams are just scared off by not by the price tag of the players, because United will give them away. It's the wages, really.
Totally. Well, just wrapping up. How is any word on how the boss man, the OG boss man, Sir Alex Ferguson's doing?
I think he's well. I'm not seeing him for a while, or heard of him for a while. I know it's his birthday soon. He's 80 in January, so it's But yeah, I saw him footage of him during the Euros. So he looks in good spirits there. So I'm assuming he's doing well.
That's good to hear. And Stan, as we're wrapping up, you know, remind all the folks that are listening where they can find your stuff. Remind them what you're up to these days, and just give you a chance for a little much-deserved self-promotion.
Okay, well, the best place to find me, if you want to hear me talk about Man United, is on Twitter, which is Stan_Chow, and Instagram, which is Stan_Chow2. I mean, like, you can go to my website, but you won't find anything there. So it's just kind of... You might as well just go on Twitter and then follow the links, basically, which is at Stan_Chow.
And you have the print shop as well. You can remind folks.
Oh, yeah, print shop too, yeah. But, oh, yes, of course. My print shop is the StanleyChowPrintShop.com. But, yeah, that sells Man United stuff, but also sells other kind of pop culture stuff too.
Awesome. Hey, Stan, thank you so much. I don't know if you heard, but America Red Devils officially are season ticket holders. I'm sure you have no problem getting tickets, but if you ever want seats in the Stretford End, we got you covered.
I'm already there. I've already got tickets at the Stretford End. Thank you very much. But yeah, but like, I'll let other people know. Yeah.
Well, brilliant. We're going to try and make it out, you know, travel restrictions dependent, but maybe for the Scouser game in October. But anyway, Stan, thank you so much for being on the pod. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your insight. And as always, it's just a pleasure to have you on.
Okay, thanks for having me, and hopefully speak again soon.
Absolutely. Well, that was Stan Chow. It was great to have him on the pod. We appreciate his insight and his outlook for this season. I think it's going to be a good one. Wrapping up the pod, top downloads last 7 days. Here we go. Number one, how you doing? Columbus, Ohio. Number two, Chicago, Illinois. Ironwood, Michigan. Telford, United Kingdom. Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you. Atlanta, Georgia. Bray, California. Austin, Texas. Cincinnati, Ohio. And last but not least, Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Big, big season coming up. On Wednesday, we're doing a season preview and a preview of the Leeds game coming up. Boys and girls, football is back, baby. Here we go. And as always, kicking a blue.